Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training. And stay tuned for Talking.Golf to find out how to score a free sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls when you make the call to our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. And we welcome you into another edition of Talking.Golf as we creep deep into the month of February. And it is by far not even close to the dog days of the winter golf season, Gary D'Amato, because so much golf to talk about. A very eventful week on Wisconsin.Golf, but we start off our Talking.Golf podcast with a bit of a somber note. We lost a good friend of the show, a good friend of golf in Wisconsin, and someone who's really made an impact in terms of a lot of the behind-the-scenes things, in terms of things like ball washers and water dispensing holders and all the different infrastructure you see on the golf course. But also, he was the one that brought back the club at Lac La Belle in Oconomowoc. Matt Morris passed away this week, Gary, and you wrote a touching tribute to him and really, I thought, captured what this guy meant to golf in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Rob, it's a sad story. 64 years old is way too young to die. But he packed a lot into those 64 years, as you just mentioned, you know, building the Prestwick companies into one of the dominant companies really in the world. They shipped to, I think, 65 countries and I don't know how many thousands of golf courses, but Tyler Morris, Matt's son, who is the GM at Club at Lac La Belle, said that one of their first clients was Augusta National. They shipped waste receptacles, you know, the little white boxes and green boxes you see that hold the trash cans at Augusta National way back like 25 years ago. And he said they're still using them. So they were really excited when they got Augusta National as one of their early clients. But yeah, he built that company into a huge dominant player in that end of the industry, and then bringing back the club at Lac La Belle, which have kind of private club had fallen on some hard times, lost a lot of members over the years, and came in and spent a lot of money redoing that course, and it turned out great. And I didn't even know Matt was sick, so Tyler called me when Matt was in hospice saying, you know, his father's death was imminent, and it shocked me. I didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah, you know, and I heard it out here. In fact, you know, news like that travels fast in the Wisconsin golf community. And former WSGA executive director Tom Schmidt told me about it just last Monday. I text you, you knew about it, and all of a sudden, you know, now everybody knows. And I think I thought that the reaction to your story, to be honest, Gary, one of our most read stories on the site this week. And, you know, when we've still got a lot of, you know, page views on the Steve Stricker story, we got a lot of page views on Aaron Rodgers from last week. But I thought it really spoke to the impact that Matt had. I got to know about Prestwick Golf when I went to the trade show out in San Diego about 3-4 years ago. And you could tell, you know, as you mentioned with the Augusta National deal, you know, Prestwick, there are a lot of companies out there that manufacture some of the tee signs, the water dispensing stations, the benches that you see on golf holes, and a lot of the things that we kind of take for granted. But you could tell that Prestwick was really the Cadillac of that, you know, end of golf retail and golf equipment. And I thought it was a feather in the cap for Wisconsin to have that company in our own backyard.
No doubt, yeah. Based in Sussex, and they've diversified. They do all kinds of furniture now and other things. But you know, I think it started with hazard stakes, penalty stakes. You know, the red and yellow stakes you see. And you know, superintendents always complain because they were made of wood and they'd have to paint them every 6 months. You know, the paint would fall off, and so they came up with these hazard stakes that you never have to paint. You know, they're made of recycled plastic that they last forever. And he built that company, started in his garage, Rob. You know, he had left the successful, he was selling CNC machines and very successful salesman, and, you know, took a gamble. He had an idea and a true entrepreneur. And it's a sad, it's a big loss for Wisconsin golf.
Another area where you see the work of Prestwick Golf are the wooden little contraptions where you can rest your golf club at the driving range, the high-end ones, Prestwick Golf. It really is kind of amazing. And you and I got to play the club at Lac La Belle last year. And I know that there was a lot made about in the last day or so with the fire over at Oakland Hills in Michigan, and you know, every clubhouse has a history, and we it's a shame that Oakland Hills is losing its that part of it with the fire, but it brought to mind the great history we saw just walking through the clubhouse at the club at Lac La Belle, because it is one of Wisconsin's oldest golf courses. And it's got one of its richest traditions and richest histories with especially the club professionals that have passed through the club at Lac La Belle.
Yeah, you know, the history goes back to 1896, Rob, and they've done a remarkable job in the clubhouse. It's like a museum in there, as you saw last summer, with tributes to their early club professionals. They had U.S. Open winners as club professionals back around the 1900. They actually hosted a tournament that put the Western Open on ice for a year because all the pros came up and played in Oconomowoc. it's got a cool history. And people, when they go play club at Lac La Belle, they should really take some time and go through the clubhouse and soak that all in.
Well, and that's Matt Morris, as Gary said, dying far too soon at the age of 64. And our thoughts and prayers are with his wife, Cindy, son Tyler, and his daughter Nikki Morris was a member of the Badger women's golf team, as Gary pointed out in his story, and very accomplished golfer in her own right. And it's just neat to see how much golf meant to that family. And of course, it all started right there at the top. Another great story that was just posted to our site today from Gary D'Amato, Carl Markstedt, a guy who, as the headline says, Gary, wanted to play Mario Kart on a big screen, and now he sells simulators to golfers around the world. I haven't dove into this one yet. You've told me about Carl and his impact on the game of golf, and perhaps another guy, Gary, that we're somewhat overlooking here in terms of a local guy whose impact to golf might be quite immense.
Yeah, another true entrepreneur, started a little business selling stuff on a dial-up when he was in college at Wisconsin, and turned it into a business selling screens. He couldn't find a big screen. He and his buddies wanted to play Mario Kart on a projector and show it on a screen. And so he made his own. He found out, where to get fabric and how to cut it. And home theater was a big part of his business 10, 15 years ago. But now it's golf simulators. It's the screens and the enclosures for simulators, and he's also a distributor for the various simulator, actually the radar gizmos that give you the readout on your yardage and everything. He's a dealer for four different brands of those. But I just thought it's remarkable that Robbie had 9 employees 7 years ago, and he's got 47 now, which he said the simulator business is just exploding, which is part and parcel what we've seen in other facets of the golf industry. And more people are playing golf, and a lot more people are playing indoor golf right now.
Yeah, huge. And I continue to kind of squirrel away some of them that I found on Facebook. I think the club at Branch River in Cato, just outside Manitowoc, is in the process of redesigning its clubhouse to add one or add a series of simulators. And so are many clubs throughout the state. It's kind of that winter component that gives the golf club, the golf course, relevance for those that don't want to go ski the golf course or snowmobile or whatever you might do outdoors on a golf course. You can at least, be a part of the golf community even when the snow falls.
Yeah, Carl's he's building a brand new building there in Milton, and He's been very successful. He's sold to countries around the world and sold to NFL players, even sold to Bruce Springsteen, but not the Bruce Springsteen, because this guy lived in Nebraska. So probably couldn't have been the boss. But yeah, he's been very successful.
And of course, the Milton area, right between Milwaukee and Madison there, just outside of Janesville, a great location to really, you know, centralized. Now, can anybody call up Carl and get a simulator? How does that work, Gary?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rip. Yeah, anyone can call Carl's place in Milton and tell him your budget and the size of your room, and sort of they take it from there. They put together a custom package. The whole package with the screen, the mat, the enclosure, the simulator, and whatever other accessories, you know, you need can run from just under $5,000 to as much as you want to spend. I mean, you can spend over $25,000 on these things, but you can get a nice home one with really good simulator that, as you know, Rob, those things have really advanced with their technology in recent years for, you know, $4,500 to $5,000. So if you have room in your garage or in your rec room or wherever in your house that you might be able to whack golf balls, they can do up a simulator for you.
Well, you know, Gary, our boss, John Hughes, has been talking about putting one into the worldwide headquarters. I'm kind of hoping he saw your story.
I'll text it to him just in case he missed it.
Well, and I tell you, again, as Gary said, it's becoming, you know, one of these things that, you know, as we have more and more disposable income, you know, simulators, opportunity to work on your game in the wintertime. And, you know, you can even watch TV on some of these things. And and so it's definitely a multi-purpose. I think it's that kind of in-home investment, Gary, that you can maybe sell the rest of the family on as being, you know, maybe that community Christmas present for everybody. But it really a fascinating story. I encourage everybody to give that a read here on Wisconsin.golf. As we look at since we last talked, Gary, I spent two more days at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And of course, two holes in one, I think, since we talked, and therefore two fairly ambitious levels of alcohol poured on the 16th green at TPC Scottsdale. My question for you, Gary, if you had a half can full of Miller Lite, does it leave your hand, or are you finishing that beer and keeping it right underneath your chair?
Yeah, I'm finishing that beer, Rob. That's a good question. You know, we love the exuberance at the Waste Management. We love how the fan, everyone loves that 16th hole. That's such a cool scene. But, you know, some PGA Tour guys raised questions like, what if someone throws a full beer can and hits one of these guys in the head or hits him in the eye? Or, you know, I mean, we're talking about their careers here. And so I think the tour already, from what I read, is behind the scenes talking to Waste Management, and the Thunderbirds put that on, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Talking to that group about what they can maybe do for, to make it still as much fun and as rowdy as it's been, but a little more safe.
Well, so on Sunday, I brought a friend from our community here outside of Phoenix over to the final round, and we did all the, you know, walked out to the Oasis and got to see, you know, all the things that you know to see in the middle of the golf course, and then we headed back to 16 just as Justin Thomas was coming through, and he kind of hit one over the green, got booed, you know, soundly for missing the green, as everybody does, but then proceeds to hole his chip, and lo and behold, here come the beer cans, and we, you know, we got sprayed. The guy in front of us got hit, and I posted a picture on Twitter last weekend of the blood kind of streaming down his face, and he didn't realize he had been hit. And it was a little bit, you know, you just don't know with that many people in that confined a space, not all of them golf fans, or at least, you know, educated golf fans. Obviously they're there to watch a golf tournament. And as we talked about last week, from my experience, the first couple rounds, it's kind of like the golf tournament happens to be going on behind a party. But, you know, I think the safety of it, we speculated that, you know, either they'll switch to some other form of, you know, serving alcohol, although it's really hard, Gary, because, you know, those are the aluminum cans with those little screw tops are the easiest way to sell it in a crowd. I think we see it at baseball games, you know, football games, that kind of thing. I don't think you could have, and it's probably not, you know, in the era of COVID, you can't have people, you know, beer men pouring beer into a cup and handing it down, you know, in a plastic container. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. There's a lot of, I think it's a packaging entrepreneur's dream to come up with the ideal container to serve beer at the 16th hole at the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Well, I've even heard talk that they're thinking that one of the things they're considering is putting up a giant net around that whole amphitheater.
Yes.
So that if beer cans are thrown, they just hit a net and fall harmlessly to the ground. But what did you think of Harry Higgs and Joel Damon pulling their shirts up and taking their shirts off? You know, Rob, on the one hand, it's we don't see anything like that on the PGA Tour. And those guys are going to get fined by the PGA Tour for their conduct. But on the other hand, the tour's definitely, if not encouraging, at least signing off on all the shenanigans that goes on in the stands. So I find that to be interesting that those guys could get fined for doing that.
Now, wait a second. They're going to get fined for having fun at the hole where fun comes with the territory?
Exactly.
What is that?
Yeah. It's hypocritical, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like Harry Higgs said, he'll probably never do in his life do that again, but it was fun. I guess it was kind of fun to see once.
Yeah.
He does not have abs, by the way.
No, he doesn't. That was more than a six pack. It was probably abs. He would be a great person, you know, ambassador of Summerfest, maybe the state fair. But there are some bellies that we don't want to see. But I thought it was great. They had talked about it on social media. If someone made a birdie, that they would do that. And I tell you, it may. And the one thing too, to go back to the beer throwing, you know, everything was accentuated last week, Gary, because the weather was so good. I mean, every day was in the 80s, and it was Chamber of Commerce stuff from, you know, Monday through Sunday. And, you know, this week, a little bit cooler, you know, had a couple overcast days, wasn't quite as nice. I mean, still, you know, much better than, you know, I guess the temperatures that, you know, you've been dealing with. But, you know, I think it was a confluence of great weather, you know, Super Bowl weekend next year, and they will have to do something, you know, in terms of that netting, because you're going to have the Super Bowl on one side of town and you're going to have the Phoenix Open on the other side of town, the golf tournament wrapping up on Super Bowl Sunday. It's going to be crazy here. It's happened here before, which is one reason why the Waste Management Phoenix Open went to Super Bowl weekend. But it's going to be back again. And oh my goodness, could you imagine if the Green Bay Packers are in the Super Bowl, Gary? Oh my goodness.
Well, I don't know where you live in relation to the stadium or the course, Rob, but maybe you and Gina can sell parking in your driveway, you know, $50 a car.
We'll auction off the guest house for that week. But and it's funny you bring that up, because I have to go right through. In fact, my route to the TPC Scottsdale went up the what they call the 101, one of the loops that circle downtown Phoenix. And on Sunday, we took a different route that avoided the stadium area entirely. And that'll be the route I'll have to take probably most of the week next year if I get back out there. But it's amazing. But it certainly was the kind of tournament you and I have never seen. You know, it's just, and like you, I hope, I know that there's been a lot of tournaments that have replicated parts of the Phoenix Open, like we talked about last week. I hope that doesn't become part of it. I'd hate to see that, you know, kind of trickle out at other tournaments, you know, because I don't think it would be as well received. And I do think they'll put a stop to the beer throwing.
Yeah, I think once a year is enough. It's fun, it's different, it's unique. Just make it a little safer for the players and let them go crazy. But I don't think we'd want to see that every week on the tour.
As we look ahead to the tour, a busy week on the PGA Tour this week with the first full field event on the PGA Tour Champions beginning today down in Naples, Florida with the Chubb Classic. Jerry Kelly with a round of 400 par 68 today. And he is in the hunt now at the Chubb Classic, just a few shots behind. Guess who, Gary? Bernhard Langer shoots his age again. A 64 in the opening round, picking up where he left off last year. And so What's more impressive, Jerry starting off with a 68, or the fact that he's chasing Langer? It feels like Groundhog's Day every year in the PGA Tour Champions. Everybody chasing Bernhard Langer.
That's funny you asked that, Rob, because I remember years ago when Paul Goidos shot a 59 in the first round of the John Deere Classic. Steve Stricker shot a 60 that day, and someone asked him, Steve, is it worse to shoot a 60 and be trailing, be trailing by a shot? Or what's the other half of that equation? I forget what it was. But anyway, yeah, you shoot a 60, you think you're going to be leading a tournament. He was a shot behind. But Jerry's four behind, right, Bernhard?
Four behind and a tie for seventh.
Just amazing what Bernhard's still able to do at his age. Just incredible. He's an outlier for sure. Although, you know, guys are extending their careers longer and longer. And Jerry Kelly talked about that. I think I had in Sweet Spot last week where he thinks he can play till 60 through 60 and play at a high level. We'll see. Injuries always play a part in that when you get to be that age.
Well, and they were talking on the telecast today about, how the crew that does Bob Papa and the TV crew often stays in the same hotels as the players do. And they see a lot of these guys in the hotel, workout facilities. And they specifically talked about Miguel Angel Jimenez, where he's trying to do, not necessarily stuff to get stronger, obviously with his unique figure, he's not doing any ab work, but he is doing work to try to keep the flexibility. And that, for all of us is something that is the fountain of youth that we chase, is trying to make sure that we can still get through the golf ball. But at that level, in order to compete with some of these 50-year-olds, there's another batch out this week, including 2009 PGA champion Y.E. Yang making his debut on the 50-plus circuit. You're always trying to hold off a younger generation, and it gets harder and harder. But boy, Langer has certainly become a blueprint for guys like Jerry Kelly.
Yeah, no question about it. I just wonder how, you start to look at his longevity and you wonder how long he can keep this up. He just shows absolutely no signs of, of age creeping into his game. I mean, I could see him winning still at 66, 67, 68, which would be unheard of in golf. But it certainly is a target for other guys on the Champions Tour to aspire to.
Well, and we have developing in relation to the Champions Tour, some news out of Tucson, Arizona, where in the pre-qualifier for next week's Colligard Classic, former state open champion, former Badger golfer Ben Walter shoots a 200 par 70. That currently has him in a three-way tie for fourth. The top five golfers in this pre-qualifier advance to the Monday qualifier, which will also include Madison native Mario Tiziani, the reigning state senior open champion in Wisconsin, and another former Badger golfer, as they all try to get in the tournament that Jerry Kelly hosts and is sponsored by Madison-based Exact Sciences. Kind of a funny thing there. There's still a lot of golfers on the golf course down in Tucson today, but kind of neat to see Ben Walter with a chance to go to a Monday qualifier. He told me that he's going to start doing more of these. He's kind of, I don't think he ever regained amateur standing like Mario did. But now that he's turned 50, he'd like to see where he can get his game reeled down here in the Phoenix area. And obviously still has some game if you're able to shoot 270 in the pressure of a PGA Tour Champions qualifier.
He hasn't played in much for quite a while, has he?
No, and really hasn't had an opportunity to do much since last year's State Open in Sheboygan, where I believe he missed the cut by a couple. But he was talking back then. It's just kind of, he's got the itch again, and he's now got the time as he gets to that age, where you've worked your entire life in various fields, and he's still he's a short guy. What is he, about 5'6" maybe, and. Yeah. And, hasn't changed much physically. And so he's still got the same swing. It's like we just mentioned, it's trying to make sure that those muscles that maybe haven't been, tested to the max, like they were when he was winning two Big Ten championships at Wisconsin, how do they behave when you're under the gun? And, the whole confidence thing in between the ears is another thing. Ben has never lacked for confidence, despite, he always felt that he had that chip on his shoulder that he was as good as the guys who, you know, looked like they could play linebacker for the Packers. And he's proven it through the years. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see. Mario Tiziani had a tough go of it at the Monday qualifier for the Chubb. Had a great front nine, but then through 16 holes, then no carded. After, I think, a couple double bogeys early in the back nine, not a lot of margin for error in these things where you only have four spots. And you've got next week, you've got included in the field on Monday's qualifier for the Coligard is Ken Tanigawa, who had a lot of TV time today. He filled in for Fred Couples, who withdrew from the tournament with an injury, and shot at 270. So that shows the level of competition just to get into these tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about the PGA Tour being a closed shop. Well, the Champions Tour is even more so. It's smaller fields, and you have to have been a winner on the PGA Tour for the most part to be eligible for these. So a guy like Skip Kendall, Rob, who had a really, really fine career on the PGA Tour, made a ton of cuts, but never won. And he's had a hard time getting status on the Champions Tour. So those guys can still play at age 50 into 64.
They sure can. So we'll keep an eye on how that goes, and hoping to get over to at least a round or two of the Coligard Classic next weekend and see how Jerry Kelly fares. Lastly, on tour this week, the Genesis Invitational is the PGA Tour event at Riviera Country Club outside of Los Angeles. But it kind of speaks to where we're at these days in the PGA Tour. The attention leading into it, first of all, this is Tiger's tournament, and Tiger did talk about, you know, his current status, isn't playing much golf, but working a lot on a short game, and doesn't have a timetable for coming back to the tour. And then, of course, Phil Mickelson and his affiliation with the new Saudi League. Let's start first with Tiger, Gary. Any thoughts on what you heard out of him that indicates, you know, whether he'll, you know, be visible on the PGA Tour anytime soon?
Boy, a month or two ago, when people got all excited at what he did, you know, with his son, and saw him hitting driver on the range at the Arrow Challenge and hitting it pretty far. But it just doesn't sound like he's going to be ready for the Masters, drop. Based on what he's saying, and also based on when you think about the hills at Augusta National, walking them, you know, in a couple of practice round days and then four tournament rounds, I think it sounds like he's a ways away. I'd love to see him at St. Andrews. I think that would be a great goal, you know, a flat course where he's won and won big before, and a course that he could maybe by that time be able to walk, because it's a pretty easy walking course.
And I think if we do see him at Augusta National, I wouldn't be surprised. He didn't rule out going to the par three contest.
Yeah.
I can see that might be another father-son, father-daughter thing with the kids caddying. I think I could see that. I think the other thing in listening to Tiger Woods would be, I think this might improve the chances that when he turns 50 in a few years, that we might see an occasional appearance on the PGA Tour Champions with friends like Jim Furyk, Steve Stricker, you know, in their events, and possibly the quote unquote majors, depending on his health status. You know, again, as we've documented, you know, in our coverage of the AmFam Championship, the PGA Tour Champions isn't as easy as some people make it out to be. However, there are vehicles, literally and figuratively, that he could use to get around golf courses, as he did at the PNC. And, you know, I think that bodes well for maybe having some more Tiger sightings on the PGA Tour Champions than at one point I ever thought we'd see.
Yeah. And, you know, he's won U.S. Juniors. He's won U.S. Amateurs. He's won U.S. Opens. You know, he wants to pick off the U.S. Senior Open someday to complete the Grand Slam of USGA championships. So, yeah, I think we'll see him, you know, very occasionally on the Champions Tour. I don't think he's going to play 15 events, but I think he'll play some of the majors and help good friends like Steve and Jerry. I think he'll do that.
And lastly, the Mickelson debate, I kind of feel maybe now more than ever that it's a lot of maybe a lot to do about nothing. I think you might see some guys that are going over there as a way to change it up, but it's one of those things, Gary. I think it's scary. If you're in Phil Mickelson's position, you go to the Saudi Tour and you're not coming back. I mean, that's the, you know, that's the jumping off point. And the really, you can't swim back to shore and hope to ever tee it up on the PGA Tour again, at least not until the lawyers get involved.
Well, it's interesting, you know, with Phil, if that happens, if he does go, and it sounds like he certainly is going to, he's going to get a lot of money. And if he doesn't like it, it doesn't work out, the tour isn't what everyone thinks it's going to be, yeah, he can't come back. But he's done everything that he could do now on the PGA Tour. For guys like John Rahm and Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, those guys have a big careers in front of them, multiple chances to win majors. They'll probably all pick off more majors. And for them to go over and take that gamble and then not be able to come back, I think it would be a lot harder for a younger player with a huge upside than it's for a guy like Phil Mickelson or guys in their late 40s who still have a little bit of star quality to them to take that money. Can't blame them for taking the money. I don't endorse it. I think the Saudi regime is, you know, obviously been horrible in many regards, and they're using golf to sort of sports wash some of the atrocities that they've been accused of. But I can understand why a guy in Phil's shoes would want to go over there for $80 million or $100 million. Now, a guy like Bryson DeChambeau, that's a different story, because he's a guy who's has pledged allegiance to the Saudis, it appears, and is a guy who could win multiple majors. So I think his situation is a little more interesting.
I would agree on that part, on that point. We've seen John Daly make a career out of, you know, a couple major championship wins simply because of the ability to drive the ball long and be different than everybody else. And I think Bryson DeChambeau checks both of those boxes as well. And, you know, could be a great marketing asset for the PGA Tour for many, many years. One question I have for you, Gary, because I haven't read anything about whether, I mean, these guys that go over to the Saudi Tour, they could conceivably at this point, because I haven't seen anything to the contrary, couldn't they come back and still play in majors? Because, you know, it would be up to Augusta National to say no. It would be up to the USGA to say no for the US Open, the PGA of America on the PGA Championship, and then the RNA for the Open Championship. I don't think they're endangered that way. So that carrot will always be there, won't it?
Well, I don't know, Rob. You know, those other organizations have great relationships with the PGA Tour. Yeah. And I think they'd probably band together. And if the PGA Tour says, look, you know, these guys can't come back and play if they go, I wouldn't be surprised to see those other organizations fall in line and join the PGA Tour in a united front. As of now, the theory, the speculation is that they could come back and play in the majors, but that could change.
Well, we will continue to follow that. Again, a lot of that kind of talk doesn't really relate to what we're doing here at Golf in Wisconsin. However, there's always a trickle-down effect, isn't there, Gary? There's always, you know, as we continue to quote-unquote grow the game, that seems to be a point that's being made in a lot of different areas, whether it be that the Waste Management Phoenix Open with the Zenith 16 or getting these guys a lot of money. You know, the thinner you make this, the more opportunity there is for these guys from Wisconsin coming out on the PGA Tour. I think that's one point that's been made too. If anybody goes to Saudi, it opens up more spots for other guys who will then become household names over here on the PGA Tour.
Boy, and it looks like the tour obviously is reacting by raising purses, by putting more money into the PI player impact program, and by more money into the FedEx Cup playoffs. So they're being reactive, but it's kind of what a lot of the players, you know, talking about this does. It gets the PGA Tour to react and to do some things that they haven't done before for the players. And I just think of guys like, you know, like Hunter Eichhorn and Pearson Hunt and Harrison Knott, who might one day make it to the PGA Tour. Boy, they're going to have a ton of riches to play for if they make it there, Rob.
Well, it's a good point too. I was reading the release from the first round of this week's Korn Ferry event, and I had no idea that they've imposed minimum purses on the Korn Ferry Tour this year at $750,000, and that will grow to $1 million next year. It's been a long time since the PGA Tour has made that kind of move on their top developmental tour. And I think that's another sign that they're trying to protect the interests of the best golfers in, you know, the United States and those that come here to play on their affiliated tours.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That was just in a press release recently.
Yeah, it was just an, oh, by the way. And so obviously they've announced it before. I just don't feel they've, you know, maybe, you know, that's a good chunk of change. I mean, if you're playing for $1 million purse on a you know developmental tour. I just you know that's you know that's incentive enough for all these guys to continue the chase, and I can see why so many do it.
That's huge. I wonder if a guy like Jim Schumann, if he came along now, you know, because back in the days when he played on the Nike tour, the money was not very good.
No.
And Jim certainly had the game to advance and to make it to the PGA Tour. He might have had a tougher choice today, Rob, than he would have had 30 years ago.
That's a good point. I think somewhere I've still got my Nike Tour, Ben Hogan Tour. I guess it was Ben Hogan Tour back in the day.
Yeah, you're right.
Media guide. You should check the Ben Hogan Tour media guide from that first season when Jim played. See what the standard purses were there, and now compare them to what the Epson Tour, which is now you know the former Symetra Tour on the LPGA side. With I think they've got a minimum purse this year of $200,000, and that's you know grown a lot under Mike Nichols' watch. You know it was $100,000 I think when he took over, and $125,000, $150,000, and was always based on the minimum the average purse the previous season, then became the minimum for the next season. And they continue to grow that tour, but I think it's pretty similar in value, which shows, you know, in these days of, you know, the inflation and what, you know, the dollar is really worth, you know, how far all these, you know, quote unquote mini tours have come. You throw those numbers out, they don't seem so mini anymore.
No, I mean, guys, you know, they say that guys playing the Korn Ferry Tour up until fairly recently, you had to finish in the top, you know, 15 or 20 to say you were making a living playing golf. It sounds like that list is going to be expanded to maybe, you know, 40 or 50 or 60 guys will make a comfortable living playing golf if they don't get to the PGA Tour. So yeah. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're listening to Talking Golf. We're sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. It'll be here in no time. And Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin, can help you out with their comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities. You can check out more on their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com. Just click on golf performance training, or better yet, give them a call at Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168. That's 262-373-9168. And when you call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, tell them you heard about their golf performance program on Talking.Golf, and you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for saying you heard about Elite Sport and Spine here on Talking.Golf at Wisconsin.Golf. And Gary, as we segue from the pros to the college ranks, one of the other great stories of the week was on Monday. You sent me a text early to say that Hunter Eichhorn was on fire. And on fire was an understatement. It wound up being an 11 under par 61. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And a school record for the Marquette Golden Eagles. And we've known, and that's been in there. You know, Hunter had a great Patriot All-American out here in Arizona over winter break. And here early in the spring season, the start of his final semester of college golf, he makes a pretty emphatic statement, and you had a chance to text with him and get more on his round. What did he think about his record setting performance?
Yeah, he was excited and with good reason. It sounds like he just had a great ball striking day, Rob. 15 greens in regulation. He told me he had two birdie putts that he made around 20 feet, but all the other nine birdies were all considerably shorter than that. So he was really on with his all parts of his game were, and it's, obviously, to shoot 61, you have to be on with everything. But it's funny, Rob. I talked to Michael Bolowski, our friend who now is with the Mac Fund, was a former player at Marquette and an assistant coach for a little while. And Mike Bilo had Marquette record of 63 that later was tied by Mike Van Sickle. But Bilo was the first one to shoot it. And I said, I talked to him on the phone about something else. I said, how do you feel about your record falling? And he said, you know, he said, when I was an assistant coach, I helped recruit Hunter a little bit. And he said, when I saw him play a couple times before he got here, I said, this guy's going to beat my record someday. So he knew. He knew well in advance that Hunter was going to get his record. But yeah, a great round of golf by Hunter.
And it was really a pretty impressive performance by both Marquette and Wisconsin at the Puerto Rico Classic. That was the round that we were referring to, the tournament we were referring to. And Max Lyons set a Marquette freshman record for total strokes and strokes versus par in a 54-hole event. He shoots 70, 67, 68 to finish T16 at 11 under. Hunter Eichhorn, by the way, 68, 74, 61 for a T9 finish. And then on the Badger side of things, the UW men's golf team with a 36-hole program best 559 over the first 2 days of the program of the tournament, and followed it up with a 280 and nearly broke a record for the 54 holes. And they were led by Griffin Barella and Coulter Smith, who both tied for 22nd. Cameron Huss not far behind. A lot of low scores this weekend, and I thought both programs showed that they bear some watching here as we go forward this spring.
Yeah, it was a loaded field team-wise, Rob, with a bunch of top-ranked teams in there. I forget how many were in the top 20, but a number. And they both played very well. It's going to be tough to beat the top ranked teams in the country in a tournament like that. But to the records they set, the records that Wisconsin broke, their own program records, and what Hunter and Max Lyons did, both certainly bode well for the spring coming up here.
The Badger men and the Marquette men, so they've kicked off their spring season. Back in action this week on the college golf scene, the Badger women's golf team. And Gary, kind of shades of the other day, I called up Golf Stat this morning, and Gia Feliciano, the number 5 golfer for the Badger women, starts out birdie par and is 2 under through 3. And I'm thinking this is going to be a pretty good day for the Badger women. They struggled a little bit down in Etonon, Georgia at the Reynolds Lake Oconee Invitational, and they wind up shooting a 307. They're currently tied for 7th. The Badgers tied with, among others, South Dakota State. Mia Seaman shoots a 78th, the reigning Wisconsin Women's State Open champion, currently sitting T43. For the Badgers, they are led by Emily Lauterbach. Chloe Chen, the number 4 golfer, shoots 73. She is T6 as after one round. And then Emily Lauterbach with a 75. Emily, of course, out of Heartland, and she is currently tied for 18th. So, college golf, always fun to watch on Golf Stat, because it's like watching your stock market portfolio, Gary, because your favorite golfers can take it low, and then sometimes they go a little bit high, and sometimes they do it within the span of about 9 holes.
And Rob, for people who really aren't familiar with Golf Stat, a lot of people might not know how we're getting this information, this up-to-date scoring. You can find live scoring for all college tournaments, or almost all college tournaments, just by going to golfstat.com. That's where we get our stuff from. And I don't know how many of our listeners know about Golf Stat, but it's definitely put it on your homepage, and go to that when you want to see college golf results for men and women.
And I think what's neat about Golf Stat is it kind of has roots a little bit in Wisconsin in terms of when it got off the ground back in the mid-90s. They actually were a test. The whole program was tested at the NCAA Women's Golf Championship at University Ridge back in the day. And Mark Lesh, who passed away a couple of years ago, develop the program, and college coaches love it because they've got windows that they can see each of their golfers in their hole by hole, so they know where to be on the golf course. Parents can follow their kids if they can't make it to tournaments. I just think it's a fantastic way to monitor college golf, and it really seems to be for those that are golf junkies, it's hard to keep your eyes off of it, at least for me.
Yeah, especially as many Wisconsin golfers that we have, men and women, playing at all levels of college golf. There's always, once the season starts, there's tournaments on Golfstat every week where we've got Wisconsin players in the field.
And I may not have to go to Golfstat for a few tournaments coming up, Gary, because a lot of college golfers coming my way out here in the Phoenix area, starting Sunday with the Loyola Maryland University is hosting an invitational at Palm Valley Golf Course here in Goodyear, where I'm based now. And South Dakota's Max Schmidtke and Bucknell's Blake Wisdom Max from Sheboygan, Blake from Lake Geneva. They both had some really good, solid college careers. Max started out at Illinois Springfield and just transferred to South Dakota this year. They'll be teeing it up there. Just across the desert at PGA West, although I didn't see him in the lineup to now that I think about it, but Harrison Ott, his Vanderbilt Commodores are there. So it tells me that the competition for spots in the lineup still pretty intense for Vanderbilt. And Harrison also in his final semester of eligibility. And then we have coming up at Dove Mountain, actually at Desert Mountain, Ty Kretz, who qualified first for the South Dakota State golf team, the Jackrabbits. They will be coming to Desert Mountain for a tournament in Scottsdale, March 5th and 6th. And then it winds up on the men's side with Dominican University, Sam and Elliot Nielsen out of Fond du Lac for the Pac West Conference Championship at the Wigwam. And then the women next weekend, I've got the possibly the Coligard Classic on the PGA Tour Champions to get to over in Tucson. But then on the college level, Central Michigan, Bowling Green, Loyola of Chicago, and Missouri State all at the Rio Verde Invitational at Rio Verde Country Club, northeast of Scottsdale. So that means we could see Rachel Coughlin, Mallory Schwartz, Lorenzo Martinez, Grace Suter, Kate Meyer, Abby Caviani. And that's the same weekend that the Badger women have their quote-unquote home invitational. They've done this for many years with the members over at Westbrook Village in Peoria, and they have a women's golf championship that has a really good field. Didn't happen last year because of COVID, but it's coming back. And so we've got that. And before the season's over, we'll have, you know, Tatum Beck of Weber State, former player of the year in Wisconsin. And North Dakota State women with Joe Baranchek, Elise Hoven, Holly Murphy. It's really fun now to be in Arizona, Gary, during the winter months, especially with no spring training. At least we have golfers coming our way.
Well, I don't know what the price of gas is in Phoenix, Rob, but I know that Killarney credit card is going to get a workout over the next couple of weeks. You're going to be filling that tank of 15 times, it sounds like.
Well, I got to do it before I send all the golfers your way. And speaking of that, Gary, let's wrap up talking.golf with a weather forecast in the at the Caledonia headquarters. Is there any chance of any golf course opening soon? Asking for a friend.
Yes, that friend might be me. you know, Rob, right now the wind is blowing 50 miles an hour. I mean, literally, it is. We are having wind alerts and everything. My garbage cans are blown away. So it's cold, and the wind makes it feel a lot colder. But the good thing is no snow on the ground at all right now around my house, around my neighborhood, around southeastern Wisconsin. So let's keep that snow away, because you know the temperatures are going to warm up in a few weeks here. And as long as we don't have a 10 or 12 incher come sloshing along, we'll be playing golf in about a month, I think.
I like that forecast. I like that forecast. We when we started out the month of February, we thought maybe, just maybe by the end of February, let's temper that a little bit. Let's say by the second week in March, let's hope to see some courses open, and that'll come in no time. So again, you know, I've got, I'll throw out one idea when we close the podcast about what you can do in the meantime, because our sponsor is what you need to do to get ready for that blessed day. But for now, we'll call it a podcast and we'll talk golf again next week. How's that sound?
Sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. This has been talking.golf. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, you do need to get to Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. They are the sponsors of talking.golf. And winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, the days and weeks that are left of winter should be your prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program, and their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities. It combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, featuring golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information, or visit their website at elitesportandspinewi.com, clicking on golf performance training to get more information. And don't forget, when you call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168, Tell them you heard all about the Golf Performance Program here on Talking.Golf, and you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for calling our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.